One of the big stories overseas this morning, Iran's biggest trading partner, China, has hit back at Washington's latest sanctions threat, calling them illegal and saying it'll take all measures necessary to guard its own interests. It follows the US Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, yesterday unveiling new sanctions designed to economically asphyxiate Iran.
The clock just started ticking. The new sectoral sanctions determinations issued today target five of Iran's most vital lifelines that it exploits in other countries: digital assets, technology, gold, aviation, and shipping. These measures broaden secondary sanctions risk for anyone foolish enough to continue conducting business with this regime and will accelerate the speed with we pursue them.
The US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent there. Well, Esfandiar Batmanghelidze is the founder and the CEO of the Boursin Bazar Foundation. He's also an adjunct professor at Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. Esfandiar Batmanghelidze, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
What do you make of what China's had to say? Are these sanctions illegal?
I think this is consistent with a long-running kind of Chinese message that they do not recognize unilateral sanctions. Chinese authorities have underlined that they recognize sanctions that are imposed through the UN Security Council, but they have long taken issue with the unilateral use of sanctions and other forms of export of economic coercion, including export controls and tariffs by the United States. So the the dispute against this latest set of U.S. measures is very consistent with previous Chinese messaging when such issues arise.
So how seriously do you take this threat? What measures could China actually trigger here?
Well, I think that China has shown it has the ability to respond to U.S. economic pressure. We saw that last year when, in response to Trump's escalations in the trade war, China imposed its own export controls focused on critical minerals, creating real log jams for the supply chains related to semiconductor manufacturing in the United States, something that's very important from a national security perspective. And for many observers, that was really a moment when China was showing that as the second largest economy in the world, it too has the ability to use that economic power to advance its interests. Whereas the U.S. typically uses its dominance in the global financial system and the power of the U.S. dollar, China, as the world's largest manufacturing power, can interfere through physical supply chains, through measures like export controls. So that was, in some ways, I think, the lesson for the Trump administration, that they should not sort of act without consideration when it comes to trying to pressure China. And that may be why Bessent's announcement on Monday failed to include any significant measures targeting China, simply the threat that those measures could be taken if the administration deems necessary.
Well, on that American dominance, when he outlined these sanctions, the U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent did warn other countries to sever business ties with Iran or risk being forced out of the U.S.-based dollar system. Who else do you think this threat could be targeted at?
So countries that the administration is likely looking at include the UAE, Turkey, Pakistan, Iraq, really Iran's neighbors, who, aside from China, are the country's largest trading partners. But that list includes several countries that are U.S. allies and also countries that have deep economic dependencies on Iran in the case of Iraq. And so it will not be easy for the Trump administration to meaningfully tighten the restrictions beyond what's already in place, given that we are now 8 years into a maximum pressure sanctions campaign launched by President Trump during his first term. So I think for most of the regional countries looking at this, they're going to be expecting that despite the significant rhetoric, there remains a lot of room to negotiate with the administration about what actions they might actually take. And that's especially true when we consider that further pressure from the U.S. on Iran might be counterproductive for the diplomacy that's underway, because it may spur Iran to retaliate through its own efforts to try and compel the U.S. Basically meet Iranian demands, which have basically been focused on returning to the MOU that was signed earlier this summer.
The rhetoric out of Washington has been strong, as it always is with this administration. They've used phrases like economic asphyxiation. What does that actually mean for people in Iran? What is day-to-day life like already for Iranians?
Day-to-day life in Iran is very difficult, and it has only gotten more difficult since the outset of the war, given the physical damage that has been experienced in Iran, including in the industrial sector, but also the impact of the disruptions to maritime traffic in the Strait of Hormuz, both because of Iran's own policy of keeping the strait closed and because of the U.S. blockade. Iranians are experiencing very high inflation. They're experiencing a lot of economic uncertainty. And the country's economic crisis, which has been slow moving over the last 8 years, has recently accelerated, developing some new features that will create greater concern for things like the job market. So this is the first time in 8 years that within the overall economic contraction in Iran, we also see the industrial sector, normally a source of resilience in the Iranian economy, contracting as well. And that combination will be worrisome for Iranian policymakers. But I think the question here is, on what time frame do we expect economic pressure to really manifest? Secretary Besant was reluctant to give timelines for when his new economic operation is really going to start to bite. And ultimately, when Iranian officials look at this, they know they can't fully mitigate the impact of these sanctions on the country and on ordinary people. But they believe that they only need to endure for a period of several months because they question the resolve of the Trump administration to maintain its footing in this war where it's not clear that the U.S. can win and where there is an election looming in the U.S. where Trump may pay a political price for the quagmire that he has found himself in.
Esfandiar Batmanghelidze, sounds like we might have to get you back on in the next couple of months. Thank you so much for speaking to Radio National Breakfast.
Great to be with you. Thanks again.
Esfandiar Batmanghelidze there, the founder and the CEO of the Borsan Bazaar Foundation. He's also an adjunct professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies.